The Lord is blessing me right now. Oh, right now. Oh, the Lord is blessing me right now. Oh, right now. Oh, he woke me up this morning. Started me on my way. The Lord is blessing me
right now.
Right now. Oh, yeah. Somebody help me. Said this morning, oh, the Lord is blessing me right now. Oh, right now. Oh, the Lord. Blessing me right now. Oh,
right now.
He woke
me up this morning.
Lord,
blessing me,
oh,
right now,
oh yeah,
right now,
yeah,
right now.
Amen. He woke me up this morning. I was close in my right mind. He didn't let me sleep too late. Oh, he woke me. Did he wake you right on time? Hey, he woke
me up this morning.
Started
me on my way.
The Lord. Amen. How many of you can say the Lord is blessing me right now? Amen. Amen. My pastor failed a few days ago and broke his hip. And I was talking to him because he's still leading the church with a broken hip. I said, Pastor, how you doing? He said, I feel like I've been shot, but we gonna make it. That's how I kind of felt. I felt like I got shot. But we gonna make it. Amen. We gonna make it. Somebody say, we gonna make it. Amen. All of my boys is probably gone. I left Sunday night to go to South Beach, Miami, Florida, to vacation. And when I got there, the weather was 80 degrees every day. I stayed at the Hilton Bentley Hotel right on the beach. I got up every morning in that heat with a tank top, short pants, and no shoes. And I walked on that sand and I prayed and had a great time. And when I got off the plane in Rochester and that air hit me, it took everything that was working in here. But the Lord told me to come back home. And I'm glad that I did. I was supposed to be walking on the beach this morning, the last day, but my spirit wouldn't rest. So the Lord said, come home, and I came home. Somebody say amen. I wrote about 3 or 4 sermons while I was there, so I'm going to preach all of them today. Amen. It will be helpful if I say something that you appreciate in the word to say amen. That will help break through whatever Satan is trying to choke up here. Amen. But I wanted to go to this text because the theme for this year is focus. And after leaving the 7 churches of Asia Minor, I wanted to begin to talk more about focusing. And so I wanted to look at this text because I do believe it's a text for us to focus on. You may keep your seat. It's John chapter 15, verse 1. Says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, and it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I want to talk about today the Lord's vineyard. And just kind of begin to zoom in on the Lord's vineyard. Say it with me, the Lord's vineyard. I declare it's good to put your trust in the Lord. According to John chapter 14, verse 31, Jesus and his disciples were about to leave the upper room. It was there where they shared the Passover meal. Wait, they're going to the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus would pray his great high priestly prayer and then later be arrested by a mob led by Judas. In chapter 15, Jesus is pictured for us as the true vine. And as they walked toward the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus began to talk to his disciples about vines. He began to talk to them about vine dressers, and he began to talk to them about fruit. On his way, really, to be crucified, he yet has a conversation with his disciples about vines, about vine dressers, and about fruit. The first thing I wanted to know is, what would prompt Jesus to talk about vines and to talk about vine dressers and fruit on his way to be crucified? What would prompt this teaching? There are several possibilities in this text that we might consider. One is, they may have passed by the temple, which had vines carved in the doors. History says that they had vines carved in the doors. And while they were walking, Jesus may have seen, some have alleged that he may have seen the vines carved in the doors. And it just sort of prompted him to talk about vines, vine dresses, and fruit. Some have alleged that they may have passed through the Golden Gate, and history says that the Golden Gate has many vines carved in it, and maybe when Jesus passed by the Golden Gate, he saw the vines carved in the gate, and that may have caused him to talk about vines, vine dresses, and fruit. Nobody really knows why he did, but he did. It was April, and that meant that grapevines would be beginning to blossom with the promise of a fresh harvest. As Jesus walked with his disciples, maybe he reached out and took a vine into his hand and used it to teach an object lesson to his disciples about vines, vine dresses, and fruit. But wait, come on, I believe that this teaching is far more profound than Jesus just happening to see a vine on a door or a vine on a gate. I believe that this teaching is far more profound, and that the symbol for the nation of Israel is a vine. Psalms chapter 80, Psalms number 80, verse 8 says, "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, and thou hast cast out the heathens and planted the vine." So it may have been a little more than just seeing a vine on a door or a vine on a gate that caused him to teach a lesson on vine dresses, and fruit. That same truth is seen in Israel chapter 5, verses 1 says, Israel says, "Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard." My well-beloved has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, Isaiah says. He fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof, pulled away the stones, planted it with the choicest vine, and built the tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and that it would bring forth grapes. But it brought forth, the Bible says, wild grapes. But this vine had not lived up to its intended purpose, according to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21. The writer says, "Yet have I planted thee a noble vine. Yet have I planted thee a holy vine. How then art thou turned into this degenerate plant of some strange vine unto me. I planted you holy. I planted you noble, and up sprouts some vine that I know not of, some fruit that I know are not of, some strange vine pops up, and I know I planted you holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. I know that I planted you noble. And here's a degenerate plant of a strange vine. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1, it says, Israel is an empty vine, and he bringeth forth fruit unto himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He has increased the altars. And so God really, I believe, in this text has sent his son, because once you start searching the history of the vines, you find all kinds of vines in the Bible that would not be good examples for us to follow. And I believe God sent his son, Jesus the Christ, into the world to show us, to give unto us the true vine. What Israel had failed to do with the vines that God planted holy, and what Israel had failed to do with the vines that God planted, those good vines that he planted, God would do those things with Jesus. I think the choir sings from time to time a song that goes straight to my soul. The song says, God never fails. Who am I talking to this morning can say God never fails? You know, I don't know the verses to any song, but the song says God never fails. Just keep the faith and never cease to pray. Walk upright morning, noon, day, or night. And the end of that verse says, he'll be there. There's no need to worry, because God never fails. Even though Israel failed with the vines that God had planted, put in good vines, put in noble vines, put in holy vines, put in righteous seeds, and he says, up pops a degenerate plant from a strange vine. And so God sends his son, Jesus the Christ, I wrote this on the beach. God sent his son, Jesus the Christ, into the world as the true vine. What Israel had failed to do, look at God getting ready to accomplish, because he never failed. Whatever prompted this teaching that night, clearly his desire was to teach them about one, the most vital relationship that they would ever have in their lives. And that is not your relationship with the church, and not your relationship with the pastor, and not your relationship with anybody else, but the most vital relationship that you can have is your relationship with Jesus and your relationship with his Father. And so John chapter 14 verse 12 informed the disciples that Jesus would go away. You know, he says, I'm going away and I'm going to prepare place for you, you know, but he says, even when he goes away, the work of the Father, the work of the Son would continue, but it would continue through them, through us, and through our lives. If you will carry out the work of the Lord, then you need to know how to produce fruit in your life. Because if you're not producing fruit, then you're not carrying out the work of the Lord. He wants his disciples to know that the only way that we can be fruitful for the glory of God is in the text, and that says we must abide in him, the true vine. Here we are some 2,000 years removed from that night, but the work of the Lord still continues. The Lord is still working through his disciples to accomplish his work, and in the end, his will be done. Many of us sit in and we wonder, how are we supposed to do the work of the Lord? It just sounds so preachy. It sounds so sermonic. It sounds so churchy. But how are we supposed to do the work of the Lord? And how can we produce the kind of fruit that really does bless God? You know, the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all time, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. How do we produce fruit that blesses God? How do we produce fruit that causes God to say amen? I know we like to say amen, but how do we produce a fruit that causes God to say amen? Amen says, I'm in touch. I like that. That's why I wonder about preaching sometimes. Some folks don't ever say amen. But amen said, that's right. Amen says, that's the truth. Amen says, I'm in agreement with that. And so how do we produce fruit that does not cause man to say amen, but a fruit that will cause God to say amen? Well, the answer is found in these verses. One, they're lessons from the Lord's vineyard. These precious verses in this text that we just read will teach us how we can be fruitful branches for the glory of God. So here's the focus. One, focus on divine relationships. Somebody say divine relationships. Divine, only relationship you can ever have that will not, you won't get crossed in, is a divine relationship. That's the only relationship that you can have. You'll fall out with mama, you fall out with daddy, you fall out with sister, with brother, with uncle, husband, wife, you're gonna fall out with everybody. The only relationship you have that there won't be a falling out of, and that's a divine relationship. In verse 2, Jesus uses the phrase, and I got happy walking on the beach barefooted with no shirt on looking at this thing. He uses the phrase, in me. In me, in me, in me. He says, I am the true vine. Ain't, don't that something, if you're looking for something, won't that kind of do it for you? He says, I am the true vine. You need a friend. Don't you kind of hear Jesus saying, I am the true vine. You need a comforter. Jesus is saying, I'm the true vine. You need somebody that you can tell your secrets to, and they're not going to tell anybody else. Jesus says, I am the true vine. He says, and my Father is the husbandman. And I don't need to be lying. I didn't know what husbandman meant. I've been all the way through 5 degrees and didn't know what husbandman meant. And when you don't know what something means, look it up. Yeah. I looked it up, and that's the one who just sort of takes care, sort of cultivates. I mean, Jesus says, I'm divine. But somebody's got to cultivate even the land that I've been put on, where the branches are, where the vine is. And he said, I don't do that. My Father takes care of all of this. He says, all I got to do is just be the vine. My Father takes care of the big stuff. I'm really trying to tell you something here. This is what the text says. Jesus says, my Father handles my big stuff. Am I talking to somebody this morning who can say, I'll be the vine, but I need somebody to take care of the big stuff? Who, come on in here. Who am I talking to? You can do what you do, but it's just so, Jesus is saying, it's only so much I can do. Jesus is saying, it's only so much I can do, and yet he says that we can say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, because my Father is the husbandman. My Father takes care of the house. My Father takes care of the farm. My Father takes care of the business. My Father takes care of my life. My Father takes care of my health. My Father takes care of my wealth. My Father. Are my musicians just gone? He says, my Father. Somebody say, my Father. My father takes care of my father. I would have wanted them to hit me right there. My father, I need you to come in here and say, my father takes care of the big stuff. That's good news right there. That's good news right there. I got a thing from IRS. And when I tell you it was big, it was big. I said, Lord, and you know, sometimes folk hear stuff and they don't really believe it. Some people don't believe prayer works. I got a tax bill. I said, Lord, I can't handle this. I got on the phone, I called IRS, and they said it's paid. I mean, y'all act like you don't know what paid means. And it went about $9,000, but $9,000 for me to have to pay IRS on some 2013 taxes, that's a lot. I called my accountant. My accountant did whatever she needed to do, sent them whatever they needed to send. And when I got on the phone, I discovered that my father had taken care of the big stuff. Every branch, he says, my father is the husbandman. Every branch, here it is, in me. Don't miss the small stuff in this text today. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, have you noticed that he's going to handle the branches regardless? You know what I got out of this text? He's going, every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he cuts it. He prunes it. In other words, God's going to put his hands on you one way or the other. I mean, if you're doing good, God's still lying to y'all. Have to be from the South to understand that. If you're doing good, God is lying to grab you by your neck and push you up against the wall because he wants to take you farther. So he says in verse 2, every branch. Somebody say every branch. That's for the folk who say, why me? That's for the folk who say, woe is me. He says, every branch in me has got to go through something. Every branch in me has got to go through something. I mean, if you bear fruit, I'm going to take you away. I'll talk about that in a minute. He says, if you don't bear fruit, I'm going to prune you. The Lord is speaking to people who are only in a vital, loving relationship with him. He's speaking to those who are saved. And I got to tell you, I did wonder as I was walking and listening to God and preparing this message. I said, how many people saved today? Yeah. Let me see let me see your hand. How many people saved? Just saved. I mean, saved folk look like they would have been glad to say, I'm saved. Look like saved folk would have been just happy to say, I'm saved. Look like saved folk would make some noise. Saved folk would say, yeah, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So let's start this thing. Oh, I mean, saved means that I'm a child of God. Saved means I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. Saved means I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Saved means I'm not going to hell when I die. I'm going to heaven. Saved means I've been touched. And so let me ask you, anybody here been saved? Yeah. Yeah, been saved. And so he's speaking to those who are saved. This sermon today needs a disclaimer because it's not for everybody. This is one here, Mike Ruffin, that just doesn't apply to folks. If you're not, I'm preaching to saved people today. And so if you're not saved, maybe sit there and let's just hope God saves you. But this is not your sermon today. This sermon is for folk who are saved. God's only talking to the saved folk. He's speaking to those who are saved. He says, you cannot be a branch in the Lord's vineyard there until you have a divine relationship with him. He says, no one can bear fruit for the glory of the Lord. And I've come to a place, I'm like, God, whatever I do, let God get the glory. Because if you don't give God the glory, man will never ever give you what God can give you. He says nobody can bear fruit for the glory of God unless you are attached to the vine. Now look here, at least six times in this chapter alone, Jesus uses the phrase in me. Verse 2, he says, in me. Verse 4a, he says, in me. Verse 4c, he says, in me. Verse 5, he says, in me. Verse 6, he says, in me. Verse 7, he says, in me. He's talking about a focus that is a necessity for life and fruit bearing, a divine relationship. He's talking about focusing on an in me relationship. He's talking about an in me focus and not in anybody else, but an in me focus. The only way this can happen is for the new birth to take place. This occurs when a person comes to see, listen, themselves as a sinner. You know, we always see other people as wrong. We always can point, mama say, be careful pointing at other folk. Because when you point at other folk, it's three fingers pointing back at you. And mama used to hold that thumb back and say, and one thumb pointing back at you. Salvation comes when you can see yourself in need of salvation. You'll never get right until you see yourself wrong. Jonah says, I'm the cause of the trouble. On this ship, he says, I'm the cause of the trouble. The Philippian jailer asks, what must I do that I might be saved? The woman at the well says, come see a man that showed me about myself, that told me about myself. Blind Bartimaeus says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I mean, the woman with the issue of blood, she says, if I could touch the hem of his garment, then I would be made whole. I mean, here's David. If anybody looked at themselves, it was David. David says, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Blot out my transgressions, purge me with hyssop. Saul of Tarsus on his way to Damascus, when the Lord shined a light brighter than the noonday sun, knocked him off his beast, Saul said to the Lord, what would you have me to do? John says, I am not worthy to unfasten the sandals on his feet. The rich young ruler said, what must I do? You got to come to a place to where you say, it's me. I'm the cause of the problem. I'm the sinner. I'm the one standing in the need of prayer. Jesus says, in me, happens only when you are convicted of your sins. In me happens when you sense the Lord's calling on your life. And there are people who believe that the Lord only calls those who stand in the pulpit. If you have not sensed the call of God on your life, you really need to be on the mourner's bench. Because God just does not call those who stand here. All of us have a calling on our life. Ask your neighbor. Turn around and ask somebody, what's your calling? What is your calling? What is your calling? All of us. And let me give you an answer in case you didn't know. You're called to righteousness. You're called to love ye one another. You're called to separate yourselves, to come out from among the world and be ye separated. You're called to love your enemies and bless them that hate you and do good to them that despitefully misuse you. You're called. There are plenty of people. Oh, my brothers and sisters, Jesus said, in me. Somebody say, in me. In me. In me happens when you acknowledge your call not to die, but to live. There are plenty of people who are in religion. There are plenty of people who are in Donald Trump's camp. There are many people who are in Hillary's camp. Many people who are in church. Many people in ministry, in authority, in position. But Jesus says, you must be in me. In him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. And so, my brothers and sisters, be sure that you are saved. We don't preach about salvation. We don't preach about being saved enough. We don't talk about being saved. Be sure that you are saved and that you've been this tree. It says, grafted into the true vine, been attached to the true vine, been transplanted to the true vine, been fixed to the true vine. And so without that relationship, the sap of life cannot flow in you and through you. And so one, we focus on divine relationships. But then we must focus on divine reproduction. A vine has one distinct purpose. And that purpose is not to look cute. That purpose is not to give shade. That purpose is not to even be a plant that you sit on your dresser. Its purpose is to bear fruit. But notice the vine itself does not bear fruit. It delegates the fruit bearing to the branches. The vine has fruit, but its fruit is the branches. And so it is with Jesus. He came to this world to die on the cross. And he came to die for sins. And he came to die for fallen men. Mark 10:45, Luke 19:10, John 18:37 tell us that he came for us. You know what? People ought to shout at the name Jesus. People ought to praise God at the name Jesus. Because nobody else came for us and died for us that we might live. I mean, I've had people to get up out of their seats and give me their chair. I've had people to hold parking spaces for me. I've had people to make deals for me, but nobody gave their life. You've had the same thing. People have held reservations for you. They held tables for you at restaurants. They have contractual deals for you because of who you are. They have jobs for you. You were not in town and they kept the job until you got there, but nobody died for you. His fruit is the soul saved by his grace. His fruit is believers. His fruit is those branches that have been grafted into him by grace. And so, my brothers and sisters, the life of Jesus, the true vine, flows through the saved individual, and that new branch bears the fruit of the vine. And so everybody ought to walk. Well, let me take that back. The saved folk ought to walk in this door saying, I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven have signed my name. Everybody, I know what you're going to talk about when church is over, but what you ought to talk about is, I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven have signed my name. I ought to walk out the door saying, this sermon has prompted me to realize that I got a new walk. I got a new talk. I got a new name. I got a new life. I got a new robe. I got a crown. God expects us to bear fruit. And listen, I'm going to leave you when I tell you there's a progression. Lord, deliver me from folk who get saved today. And I mean, they know more than anybody been in church. You know, they know more about the Bible. They just got saved today. But do you not know that fruit bearer, that means they want to witness. They want to speak a word in your life. The Lord told me to
tell you this? I said, well, you go back and tell the Lord that he has my number. Because bearing fruit is progressional. Notice in the text in verse 2, first there's no fruit. No fruit. You don't have fruit when you first walk in the doors of the Lord's heart. You don't have any fruit. You don't even have a command to bear fruit until you come to know Jesus. But I mean, they come in the church. They'll come in just getting saved. And while, when they come up out the water, they testify and prophesy. But it's a progression. Look what verse 2. Verse 2 says, no fruit. First of all, there's no fruit. Somebody say no fruit. First of all, there's no fruit. I'm trying to get you somewhere. First of all, there's no fruit. And I know some of you don't want to admit it, but we've all been there. And some of us are not far from it now and been in church all our lives and still at no fruit. Somebody say, he preaching mighty tough for this meeting is coming up. He act like he don't care about that meeting. Look here, verse 2 says, first of all, there's no fruit. You go from no fruit to fruit. Wait, it does not say no fruit to much fruit. It says no fruit to fruit. You understand? You first get saved. You first get the love of God. Before you prophesy in somebody's life, get the love of God in your heart. So I got to go. I'm on vacation. Verse 2 says no fruit. Then it goes from no fruit to just fruit. And once you get some fruit, then it says bear much fruit. Notice in verse 2 is no fruit. But in verse 8 it says much fruit. So when somebody come into my life and they just got saved, I said, baby, you still in verse 2. You trying to prophesy to me like you in verse 8 and you still walking in verse 2. You missed 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. So verse 8 speaks of much fruit. God expects us. Can I leave now? God expects us to always, somebody say always, be growing. Grow. But wait, I got one more thing to tell you. Because we done got growing mixed up. We think because you stand up here like Rob do where y'all remember when Rob first got up, he couldn't hardly say his name up here. Come on. Well, I couldn't either when I started, and that's just a progression. Somebody say progression. You don't just come up off the pew and get up here and do what I'm doing now. If you do, you've been holding out on us. There's a progressional state. First you get up here and you just try to get through your name right. First name. Just try to get up here. Am I right, Dr. Mack? You just try to get up here and if you can get up here and say, my name is Ricky. Don't worry about the Bernard Harvey Senior part. Get up, say my name is Ricky and sit down. And then next time, my name is Ricky Bernard Harvey. And then you move on because it's a progressional. But look in the text, it says, bearing fruit, there are three basic fruits that the Lord bears in the lives of his children. And one is not being able to stand up here and give your whole spiel. That fruit is sanctification. You know, we say, oh, see how well he give his speech. We can give speeches and have nothing in our heart. I just want to mess with everybody today. You're not growing because you give a good speech. You're not growing because you sing a good song. You're not growing because you play a good instrument. You're growing because you're bearing fruit, because sanctification is in your heart, and what's in the heart reaches a heart. Somebody say sanctification. And so when he says bear fruit, he really saying be holy. He's saying treat people right. He's saying stop talking about folk. He says stop having folk in the room, in the circle, and everybody's scared to leave the room because you there. Sanctification, but not only sanctification, he says there's another fruit, that's spirituality. We're supposed to be a little stronger in this today than we were yesterday. We're supposed to know that the book of Hezekiah is not in this one. Somebody look at it and say, let me see. So we grow in spirituality. We bear the fruit of sanctification. We bear the fruit of spirituality. Then we bear the suit of burdens for souls. Burdens for souls. I stopped at home on my way to Florida to check on my mama. Mama's doing well. I got a sister that's not doing as well. And so what I did, I put her, I ain't saying this for other than just a burden for somebody else. Miss Peggy Harvey, this ain't bragging, this ain't nothing. I'm just trying to tell you how success ain't success unless you're helping somebody else. I got a sister that struggled with the children. I put her light, gas, and water bill online. She walked in the door. I said, how you doing? She said, I'm fine. But it was something about her eyes. I wish I had a witness here. It was something about her eyes that said, you are not doing fine. I picked up my phone. I looked, and her light bill was $1,000. $500 past due. I ain't said nothing. I ain't told her that I just went online and at least paid the past due part. Because when you have the burden of the fruit-bearing spirit, you'll have a burden for somebody else. I can't go down to Florida and walk on the beach and play in the sand and my sister's lights about to get cut off. Before I go and play every day in the sand, I'll skip a couple of days, take that money and help somebody that's in need. I'm done. Focus. And so this text teaches us to focus on relationships. This text teaches us to focus on reproduction, but it also, and finally, it teaches us to focus on divine responsibility. You know, if there's anybody that blesses my soul the most, it's the apostle. It's Saul who becomes Paul on Damascus Road. When God knocks him down, he doesn't do like the official, like these folk. Everybody that's running for president blames everybody else for whatever happened. I don't care what happens at Donald Trump's campaign, he blames Bernie Sanders. I don't care what happens at Marco Rubio blames Ted Cruz, and Ted blames Trump. Hillary blames, ain't nobody taking responsibility for nothing. And so this text is teaching us to focus. Here's the last point. Write it down. Focus on relationships. Focus on responsibility, divine responsibility. But then focus on divine reproduction. But lastly, focus on divine responsibility. When God knocked Saul of Tarsus down, he didn't blame anybody. Somebody say he didn't blame anybody. If you fall, don't blame anybody. If I fall, I won't blame anybody. Saul of Tarsus, he says when he fell, Lord, what would you have me to do? Many Christians think that bearing fruit is only for the super saints. Many Christians believe that bearing fruit is for those who have been in church for a mighty long time. But bearing fruit for the Lord is not difficult at all. We have made church so hard. We have made church so hard. We have made getting to know the Lord so hard. We have made it down that aisle hard. Because we tell people, if you don't know it like we know it, then you don't have it like we have it.
But the Bible says six times that abide in me and I abide in you. Jesus said the one thing, and tell your neighbor, this sermon teaches us that there's only one thing that you got to do to bear much fruit. Jesus said, abide in me and I abide in you. Six times in John 15, Jesus said, abide in me. He says, if the branch will abide in me, that branch will bear much fruit. You know, fruit trees, vines, and fruit-bearing plants, they don't struggle to bear fruit. When I was living in Arizona, there were people who would take a branch from an orange tree and a branch from a lime tree, and somehow they would engraft that orange tree and that lime tree to the grapefruit tree, and when fruit bearing time came, you had one tree but three kinds of fruit. Oh Lord, but that's not what the Lord requires of us, because it's only one true vine, and when we've been attached to the true vine, we must not bear any kind of fruit, but we must bear the fruit of the Spirit when we've been attached to the right vine. I'm gonna leave you now. Is there anybody here can say, I know I have been attached to the true vine? The reason why I know I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. When you've been attached to the Lord, you will abide in him, and he will abide in you. Kim, I hear you asking me this morning, how can I abide in the Lord? How can I focus on the Lord? How can I walk in the Spirit? We do it. Can I get a witness here? We walk in the Spirit. We bear our fruit when we go on our knees and have a little talk with God. Every child of God, I said every child of God is a child of God because somebody prayed. Ooh, Lord. And we focus on him when we study the Bible. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. A workman need not be ashamed and rightly divide the word. We focus on him when we praise God. And some folk got so much to be thankful for. We focus on God when we worship him. If the Lord's been good to you, we just ought to praise him. If the Lord been good, ought to worship him. Because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and then in truth. I'm so glad that one Thursday evening I found the Lord. They don't call days no more, Lucia. But when I was a little boy, somebody would say, I'm going to call your day. And the day you found the Lord, let somebody know. I know they don't do it in upstate New York, but I'm going to call your day. And if you found him on that day, testify and let somebody know. Somebody said Monday I found the Lord. Somebody said Tuesday I found the Lord. Somebody said Wednesday I found the Lord. Somebody said Thursday I found him. Somebody said Friday I found him. Somebody said Saturday I found him. Somebody found him on a Sunday morning. I don't know your day, but I'm gone when I tell you. He says every branch, thank you Jesus, that bears fruit, he purges. And somebody been going through, you've been to Bible study, you've been to prayer service, you're paying your tithes, you forgive folk who misused you, you pray, you fast, and things are not going well. It's not because you've been bad, it's because God is not through with you yet. Am I talking to somebody who can say, please be patient? Tell your neighbor, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. When he gets through, when God gets through, tell your neighbor when God gets through. When I got off the plane, I couldn't hardly talk, but when God gets through, ain't God good? I said, when God gets through, when God gets through, he's a good God. When God gets through, we should be focused on the relationship, divine relationships. Focus on divine reproduction. Reproduce yourself divinely. Just like you walk with God, witness to somebody else so that they will walk with God too. Let me ask you, is God good to you? Let me ask you this, is God the best thing that ever happened to you? Let me ask you this. Don't you want everybody to know the God that you know? Then focus on reproducing yourself so that this joy that you have, somebody else will have it. Somebody else will walk with the Lord. This joy you have, I done got happy now. This joy I have. Will you tell your neighbor, this joy I have? This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy I have,
world didn't give it to me. This joy I have, world didn't give it to me. World didn't give it, world can't take it away. Oh, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy I have, world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy I have, world didn't give it to me. World didn't, world can't take it away. Oh, the love in my heart, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, the love in my heart, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, the love in my heart, the world didn't give it to me. I know the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I got one more thing that I'm glad about. Oh, this peace I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this peace I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this peace I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. Help me say, this joy I have. Oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, I know the world didn't give it to me. Oh, the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. Come on, clap your hands, the doors of the church is open. Nobody but Jesus.
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 He gave me joy.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Clap your hand and help me say it.
Nobody but Jesus.
Oh,
Jesus.
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 Jesus. Thank you,
Jesus.
Been my friend.
Jesus.
Been my guide.
Jesus.
Been my water.
Jesus.
Been my bread.
Jesus.
This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy I have, world didn't give it to me.
There is room at the cross. Millions have come, but there's still room for one. There is room at the, I would want to focus today on that divine relationship. I would want to focus on that divine reproduction. They call Ricky Jr. Ricky Jr., but the real Jr. is the one that you produce in the spirit to walk like you, to talk like you, to worship like you. This is a good day to focus on that divine relationship and to focus on that divine reproduction, but then that divine responsibility. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. There's room
Ah.